So it's wonderful for us to be able to welcome Russ with us again. Russ is no stranger to us. Russ and Mary are part of the eldership team in Denver, Colorado, at Redemption City on Tyron's team there. They are part of the translocal team. They don't come here as a guest. They come, well, he comes as a friend and as a gift to this body. And so we receive him as a gift. And Mary's not with him because Russ, for the second time, has become a grandfather. And so Mary's spending time. So congratulations, Russ. And come and wow us with the word.
Okay, I think I'm on there. We're good. Thank you. It's a delight to be with you again. I was actually here a year ago, this weekend, last year. And I don't look a day older, right? One of the things I realized is that not only do I love this church, but I love this leadership team. And then I realized it's because I feel like I fit in with all the gray hair. So now we got Kevin, which is wonderful. But I think he shaved his to kind of go, not stand out. As Mark said, we just had a granddaughter born, and our other granddaughter is 3. And we had her for a few days while the little one was born. And so I ended up watching Sesame Street for the first time in about 30 years. And they do this thing on Sesame Street where they put a bunch of objects up and they say, which one is different? Which one is different? So of all this leadership team, which one is different? Yeah, for lots of reasons, he's saying. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Can I just, before I get started, can I just say something to you? That I have the privilege of traveling in much of the world and ministering in a lot of churches. And I want to say to you that God has blessed you as a church with a great leadership team. Men and women who are one in love with Jesus, can hear the Holy Spirit, but are people of character. They carry more in the Spirit for you than you'll ever know till you get to heaven. But I want to tell you, I would have no problem following this team. They're people you can trust. I can't say that about every church I go into. And some of them are elders that I've ordained. No. It works like that, huh? I don't know why I said that, except that I woke up in the middle of the night just realizing anew an appreciation for those who are willing to follow the call of God to lead His church. Because it's not an easy task. Almost every pastor will tell you, there's been numerous times he says, I'm finished. I want nothing to do with this. It's difficult. So it's not glamorous or glorious, because Jesus gets all the glory. So I'm not trying to highlight these folks as opposed to Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. Having said that, I actually want to talk to you. I know that you've been doing a series on Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I agree 100%. I want to talk about the kingdom today. A little bit different. Acts chapter 10. If you haven't figured out yet, I find it very difficult to stand in one place. So I just hope I don't fall off the edge when I get excited. Pray for me, will you? Lord, thank you that you've given us your Spirit who leads us into truth. And so we open our hearts right now. Holy Spirit, lead us in truth. We don't just want to be inspired today or challenged. We want to be changed and conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, we want to be shaken out of our slumber if we've become too comfortable. We want to be strengthened again for the purpose and task that you've left us. And we say, it's only you, Holy Spirit, that can do that. And so we just acknowledge our dependence on you. I acknowledge my dependence on you, but every one of us, we acknowledge our dependence. We want to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion who was called of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel. Ninth hour is when? About 3 o'clock. So it's in the daytime. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And he observed him and he said, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Interesting. This is an Italian. Not that God can't reach Italians. But he wasn't part of Israel. He wasn't part of Israel. But he was a devout man. And God said his prayers and his generosity were noticed by God. There's something about that. I'm not preaching about that. I just found it interesting. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose name is surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. Interesting how it's recorded here, because in the next chapter, it actually says, when Peter records it, he actually heard. In fact, let me just turn over there in chapter 11, in verse 14, I think it is. Let me just find it. Yep. He said this, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. He didn't just say he'll tell you what you must do. He'll tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. Here's a devout man. That's important because when Peter gets there, there's all these people gathered. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. I think it's awesome that God is preparing Cornelius for the gospel. Now, the next paragraph, God's preparing Peter to go to Cornelius, and that's usually what we focus on. And I'm actually going to skip that part this morning just for the sake of time. Okay? But you know that God prepared Peter with the visions that he had. But God prepared Cornelius. Verse 24, on the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter lifted him up saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. I just love this. Now, some theologians would tell you that this happened because God was breaking the gospel out of the Jewish culture to the Gentiles. And so he did something supernatural. But I want to tell you, it's still happening today. Hundreds of thousands of people are having dreams and visions of Jesus. One of the guys on our team was in Liberia a couple years ago. Went into this village of over 1,000 people. Everyone had woke up one morning and had the same dream of Jesus. They all got saved. Another guy went into northern Nigeria. Met a Muslim imam who had had a vision of Jesus. See, Muslims do this funny thing. During the month of Ramadan, they pray. And while they pray, they do this. And they're actually saying, God, wash my eyes so that I can see truth. And many guys see Jesus. Have dreams of. I actually met a guy in South Africa. His ministry for years was he traveled around India and just ask people, have you had a dream or a vision of the man in white? And when they had, he'd tell them about Jesus and they'd get saved. If they hadn't, he just moved on. He wasn't going to argue with people. I've heard that in the last couple of years, over 500,000 Muslims have had dreams or visions of Jesus. God's still at work. So this was not just for that time. It's still happening today. I believe we're going to see more and more of people that God's preparing. Because that's what he was doing. He was preparing them to receive the good news. And he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's the whole story of God dealing with Peter's heart and his prejudice and bias because of his culture. Okay? That's not the issue this morning. But I want to tell you that not only is God preparing people for the gospel, he's preparing us to be the ambassadors. And that's what we'll talk about in a little bit. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? I don't know if he really didn't know. I don't know if this is a rhetorical question or if he just went, God said go, and so he went. And he didn't even actually know why. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I said to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now therefore, we're all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by us. Guys, I believe that in this day, God is preparing people and households. And God's going to actually open doors for us to people he's prepared. And they'll be ready with their household. I actually believe God's going to give people dreams and visions, not just of Jesus, but of someone who looks like Mike. And they're going to run into Mike and say, I had a dream about you. And Michael say, let me tell you why. I have something good news to share with you. God's at work reaching the world for Jesus. Jesus said this, no one comes to me unless the Father in heaven draws him. He's drawing. This is the most exciting time to be a part of the kingdom. Today, more people will gather to worship Jesus than any other gathering in the history of the planet. More people gather to worship Jesus every week than every sporting event in every nation for the whole year. See, sometimes we get this idea that we're just part of a small group. We're a few. But we're part of the kingdom. And the kingdom's advancing. Okay, I've got to really try to keep on track here because I get excited. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God had dealt with him, but finally he gets it when he sees it. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets testify that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. God had told them, go get this guy because he's going to tell you how you and your household will get saved. And finally, he gets to the point. He didn't realize it was the point. But he said, this is why Jesus came, for the remission of sin. And I believe that they responded instantly in faith. This is what we've been looking for. This is the message. Why do I believe that? Because while Peter was still speaking, he didn't realize this was the point. The Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. Wonderful story. They were ready. They were prepared by God. As soon as they heard the message of salvation, they responded. And the Holy Spirit confirmed it by falling upon them. Verse 38. Let me just make a few points here. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. First, it was God who anointed. It's very simple. It wasn't man. We don't get the anointing from man, we get the anointing from God. We don't go to someone else. God anoints. It anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Why does it say Jesus of Nazareth? Why doesn't it say Jesus the Christ? Because it's pointing to his humanity. Jesus gave up his position as God, Philippians 2 tells us, and became man. He was fully man. He functioned as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. God anoints humans. That's us. Okay, we don't have the excuse to say, but he was Jesus, he was God. No, he gave that up. He functioned as a man. He was anointed. Yeah, it's not a cop-out for us. Too often we say, oh yeah, but it was Jesus. But you're going to see, I want you to grasp this, because you're going to see that Jesus has given this task to us. Now, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. We have to be the same, full of the Holy Spirit. You know how you stay full of the Holy Spirit? It's not that you just get filled once. It's not that you just keep getting filled and filled. You get full of the Holy Spirit by obeying the Holy Spirit, by being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is actually, as many as led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. The Spirit is actually moving. He's got a task. And if we sit down and don't move with him, we go back to the Old Testament concept of the cloud that led the Israelites by day and the fire by night. If somebody decided when the cloud got up and moved that they were just going to stay camped there and they weren't going to go anywhere, who left? No. God moved on. And they stayed, and they said, no, no, you all left us. No, we were following the cloud. The cloud's moving. Guys, in a bigger picture, I want you to understand this, that the kingdom is still advancing, but change is still taking place. Dudley used to say, the only thing that is consistent is change. But the problem is, for most of us, we want to change a little bit and then we want to camp. You know, I've done my changing. I used to be like that, but now I'm like this. Because it's hard work to keep changing. It's actually difficult to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Not that it's hard as far as we have to work, but it goes against our grain because we want to settle down. I'm getting sidetracked. When he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Jesus came, and he's the king of his kingdom. When he came, the kingdom broke in. And now the kingdom of this world, ruled by Satan, is in conflict with the kingdom of God. These two kingdoms are in conflict. We are the light in the darkness. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. These two kingdoms are in conflict. And so Jesus was actually pushing back the kingdom of darkness by declaring the gospel, by healing, and setting free those who are oppressed by the devil. You know this. This isn't new. It's wonderful stuff. Hebrews 1:3 says, when Jesus had finished his work purging us of our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? It's signifying that his earthly work, his earthly mission was finished. Now just allow me a little imagination space here. Okay, there's a difference between imagination and scripture. But I just want to throw something imagination-wise at you. Can you just picture heaven? Here comes Jesus. He's just gone to the cross. He's just made the sacrifice for our sin that we can be restored to God. He's taken captivity captive. He's risen from death. He's been with the disciples talking about the kingdom. He comes back to heaven and he sits down with the Father, and all of the angels in heaven's rejoicing and worshiping Jesus. And all of a sudden it dawns on him, Jesus, you sit down. It's finished. Jesus, I can imagine the angel saying, how's the kingdom going to be advanced? You've established this kingdom. How's it going to be advanced? And Jesus says, oh, what's the plan? And Jesus said, oh, the plan is that I'm going to advance this kingdom through the church. And they think, the church. He says, yeah, guys like Peter, James, John, Mark, Vince, Alan. And heaven goes silent. And the angels look at each other and they say, Jesus, what's plan B? And Jesus says, there's no plan B, but don't worry. I've given them the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, okay, it's good. There's hope. See, Jesus gave us a commission to finish what he had begun. Not a sacrificial death, but the extension of the kingdom. And that's part of why we're here on the planet. And that needs to work into our hearts. That we exist to adore him, to love him, to worship him, but also in partnership with him to see his kingdom advanced. Turn with me to Luke 10. Now, Mark told me I have to be finished by 3 o'clock, no matter what I do. Yeah. So what time do you normally finish? 12-ish. Okay. 4 o'clock. You guys are a lot of fun. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said, the harvest is ready. For the sake of time, turn to 9. It says, and he told them, heal the sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Verse 16. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. Just so you understand this, If you're going in His name, the rejection that you receive is impersonal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Him. Too often in our insecurity, we hate rejection. I hate rejection. And so sometimes we're intimidated to talk to people about Jesus because we're afraid that they'll reject us. Let me just set you free. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Him. That's an aside. You didn't pay for that. And he who rejects me rejects Him who sent me. Then the 70 return. So they've gone out and done it. Then the 70 return saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold. I love it when I see that word. Because you know what he's saying? Look, see, behold. Come on, wake up. Open your eyes. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let me just make a few points there. These kingdoms are in conflict. We need to understand that's the state of affairs in which we live. When God made Adam and Eve, He made them in His image to have relationship, and He gave them authority or dominion over the earth. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. I don't have time. I preached that yesterday. God did that, made us in His image so we could have relationship. So God made us for relationship and rulership. That was the plan. Because He looked down the corridor of time, He saw a bride for Christ. That was the goal. Colossians tells us that all of creation was made through Christ and for Christ. Everything that exists was made for Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why the earth exists. That's why we exist for Jesus. The end of the book is a bride for Christ. Guys, it wasn't made for you. God did not make the world for us. He made us as part of the world for Jesus. Okay, but when sin entered the world, when Adam sinned, not only was relationship lost, but that rulership was lost of this world. So now Satan's called the god of this world, the ruler of this world. And so the whole story of the Bible is God restoring that original plan. Old Testament through the nation of Israel, pointing as a type to the kingdom and Christ coming. Okay? I know I'm going quick there, but I don't have time to go into all that. But we were made for this. And so now we have these kingdoms in conflict. We have the kingdom of God has broken in. But this world is under the influence. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world's under the influence of the evil one. Guys, I want to tell you, God is supreme over all, and His purpose and plan will come about, but He is not responsible for every action on this planet. He delegated that authority, and we blew it. And so now we're working with Him to restore His rulership into people's lives. What is the kingdom of God? It's the rulership of God. It's recognizing the King. Jesus is Lord. Submitting to that rulership. You who know Him are part of that kingdom. But those out there who don't are not part of the kingdom. And Jesus is not Lord of those people. So when we sing songs like, "You're the Lord of this city," guys, realize that's a prophetic statement. It's not a statement of fact, because He's not the Lord of the city. The city is people. They're actually in rebellion to His lordship. And that's what advancing the kingdom is all about. Bringing people to salvation and relationship with God and submission to His rulership. So there's a whole lot of people out there who are actually under the rule of Satan. And he's not very nice. Yet somehow we've got this idea that to say that God is over everything means that everything that happens is God. And we blame God for 9/11, for hurricanes. We had just 3 weeks ago in the city I live, Westminster, a 10-year-old girl was kidnapped. They found her body, pieces of her body. She was brutally murdered and dismembered. Found pieces of her body 2 weeks later. The whole city came out looking for that girl. It was disgusting. It was gross. It was evil. Yet there are some Christians who would say, no, that was God. Let me tell you, that wasn't God. That was the devil. He's the God of this world. That's why we're part of the kingdom, to right the wrongs, to restore the rulership, to bring the love of God to people who are under the control of the devil. Yet somehow we've got this idea that for God to be supreme, then everything that happens must be His plan. Let me tell you, God is supreme, but He delegated His authority in His supremacy, delegated His authority to man. And we blew it, and because we blew it, we've abdicated it to Satan. You still with me? Now we're getting it back. That's the exciting part of the kingdom. It's in that context that Jesus says this, "Behold, I give you authority." He said, "All authority has been given to me, heaven and on earth." He has all authority. He says, "I give you authority." That's the right, the permission, the power to represent Him in His kingdom. Second Corinthians 5:18-20. Vince read it to us while we were in prayer earlier. Good on you, Vince. Right on. You're full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that I got the memo. Mark, because I was staying with him, told me I had to wear the same shirt. So that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was actually a memo. But Vince was the Holy Spirit. But Corinthians says we've been given the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, and we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He's given us the responsibility to continue what He began, the extension of His kingdom. We're His ambassadors. We represent Him. And He's given us the authority to do that. Okay, I hope that you're open to the Holy Spirit reminding you of the Word and maybe challenging you a little bit. So He's given us that authority to carry on the work He's begun. The authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. To tread upon. That's not a passive thing. It's not like if by accident I step on a snake, it won't hurt me. This is an aggressive advancing of the kingdom in the face of opposition. The very gates of hell will not prevail against this kingdom. Too often we've got this passive mentality that says, I'm just hanging on. And if something, by chance, if I happen to, you know, step on a snake or run into somebody mean or meet somebody who's demonized, it won't get me. That's not, it actually says authority to trample on all the powers of the enemy. This is an aggressive advancing of the kingdom. If I were to title this message, I'd call it Warriors Again. There they are. They're going. Over all the power of the enemy. Give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Understand, the world lies under the influence of the evil one. What's the power of the enemy? First is sin. And so we have authority to trample on that with what? The gospel. That as many as believe in Him, He brings remission of sins. We just read it in Acts 10:43. We push back the powers of darkness by the declaration of the gospel. What you need to grasp this morning is the truth of this, but that it applies to you. We tend to think, oh, well, it's the pastor or the elders, or maybe if we're really magnanimous, we'll include the deacons. But we need to realize Jesus is talking to every disciple. Not only sin, but sickness. Sickness wasn't God's plan. Now, let me qualify this and make you understand. Sickness is a work of the devil. Okay, it wasn't God's plan. It's a result of sin. Not every sickness is demonic. Okay? The problem with this is that the whole creation hasn't yet been redeemed. And so even though we come into the kingdom, the creation hasn't been redeemed, so we still can't get older. Right? I prayed for years to be healed from gray hair. Hasn't happened. I'm kidding. It's part of getting older. Interesting story. My mom is a little bit older. And a number of years ago, all of a sudden it dawned on me this might be being taped, and she would be upset if I told you her age. But a number of years ago, she was cleaning the oven and got oven cleaner in her eyes. And was a long process, damaged her eyes, and took quite a while. But about 6 months, it had all worked out. And the result was that her eyes were quite damaged. And she had to get new glasses that were a whole lot stronger than what she had had before. She had had glasses for a lot of years. She's older. And she had glasses, and she was actually flying to Australia to come visit us when we still lived in Australia. And on the plane, God spoke to her and said, when you're in Australia, I'm going to heal your eyes. And so we get there and we're having a meeting, and there was somebody who had a word of knowledge that God wanted to heal eyes. And she just got up and ran to the front. I mean, she was ready for this. God had prepared her. Why did God didn't heal her on the plane? I don't know. But she came and God touched her and healed her. Right back to where she was before she got oven cleaner. Which is fantastic. But she had to go back home and get new glasses. And I'm thinking, God, what is there? A drought of healing? You can only do so much? You actually heal your eyes. Why not go all the way? I mean, it wasn't like it was pretending. I mean, it was dramatically healed, but only back to where she was before. Why? Because creation hasn't been yet redeemed. And so aging seems to be something that God doesn't heal yet. In heaven, He will. I don't know how old we'll be, but we won't be any older. Why am I saying that? Acts 10:48, anointed Jesus, who healed all those who were oppressed by the devil. Some of sickness is actually the devil. Demonic. I believe all sickness is sin-inspired or demonically inspired, okay? It wasn't God's plan. Luke 4. In verse 39, talking about Jesus healing Simon's mother, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. He didn't pray for her. He rebuked the fever. Guys, that was demonic. How do we know? Well, we better be led by the Holy Spirit, huh? Over all the power of the enemy, not only sickness. One of the gals in our church in Australia a number of years ago, she ran her own business, went to the accountant, had an appointment, went to the accountant, and he was running a little bit behind, so she was waiting in the waiting room, and the receptionist at this accountant's office had a skin deal, eczema, on her neck and her hands. I hesitate because for some reason in my brain, I get eczema and emphysema mixed up. My wife usually corrects me, but it was eczema. It's the skin deal, okay, on her hands. And so Raquel, who's part of our church, is sitting there, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pray for this lady. And she goes, oh, God. You know, I'm here to see the accountant, and, you know, I don't have any faith, and, you know, I'm not ready, and all the excuses. And, yeah, I'm not prayed up, and I don't have, and my mind's on something else, and nothing's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit says, Raquel, I want you to pray for this lady. So Raquel said, well, okay, I'm trying to be obedient. So, you know, I don't know. I'll try. So she goes to the lady and says, I noticed you have this. Can I pray for you? Now, in Australia, if you ask to pray for someone, they think you're going to go to church and light a candle and pray for them. Okay, that's their idea. So the gal says, yeah, you can. She wasn't expecting Raquel to grab her hands and pray for her. But she did. I mean, it really surprises people in Australia. There was another gal in the church who got told to pray for a guy in the store. Had a problem with his knee. And you know, she said, can I pray for it? And thinking that, he said, yeah. And she falls on her knees and grabs his leg and prays for him. But the electricity of God hits him. And he goes, oh, what was that? And she was so excited that she ran out and never told him about Jesus. But back to Raquel. I don't know why I got out of that. Back to Raquel. So she grabs this lady and she prays for her. And you know what? Nothing happened. And she goes over and sits down and she says, God, I told you nothing was going to happen. And God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Which is a great story, but it doesn't end there. 2 days later, she gets a phone call from this receptionist. Excited on the phone saying, you've healed me, you've healed me. And Raquel said, I didn't heal you, Jesus did. What happened is the next morning, the receptionist woke up and she was totally healed. 30 years, 36-year-old woman, she'd had this since she was 6. 30 years, she was healed. But she waited 24 hours to call Raquel to make sure she was healed. She didn't believe. Guys, it had nothing to do with her faith. And it really didn't have a whole lot to do with Raquel's faith, except that she had faith to obey. And so Raquel said, no, I didn't heal you. Jesus did. Let's have lunch. And she told her about the Lord. Why did God not heal her right away? I don't know. Why did he wait for 24 hours? Well, actually, it wasn't 24. It was 18 or something until the next morning. She woke up and she was healed. I don't know. It's just, I don't know how God works, but you know what? He's God, and I'm not, and you're not, and don't get upset if he doesn't do it how you think he should. We have power. He's given us authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Verse 43 of Luke 4, he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities. Because for this purpose, I've been sent. Let me tell you, you're sent to advance the kingdom. That's why you're here. If it were only about relationship, which it is about relationship with Jesus, that's what salvation is. But if it were only about relationship, there's no reason for you to be here. Love is choosing another's highest. God loves us. If it were only about relationship, then the best thing for us is that as soon as we get saved, he should kill us and take us to heaven. Paul says, Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So if it's only about relationship, why are we still here? Because it's not just about relationship, it's about relationship and rulership, advancing the kingdom in the face of opposition. You still with me? I'm going to close real quick. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What that means is that no power of the enemy has authority over you. It doesn't mean that your life is going to be rosy. That's not what I mean. I've heard people preach that. Because Jesus says, you'll be persecuted. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they've hated me, they'll hate you. So you can't take that scripture out of the Bible and reject the rest of it. But it's saying that once you come under the rulership of Christ, you're no longer under the authority of the devil, and none of the authority of the devil will have any effect on you. That's what it's saying. But then he says this, and he finishes with this. But don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven. The key is relationship. That's the greatest thing. We've been forgiven. We have relationship. And I want to tell you this. That's the most important thing because you have no authority outside of relationship with the King. You have no kingdom authority outside of relationship with the King. You don't have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions outside of relationship with the King. Look at Acts 19. Sons of Sceva said, we can use this name. And the demon said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who is you? Who's you? And literally beat them up. Why? Because they were trying to function in authority outside of relationship with the King. Okay, to try and bring this to a close. What do I believe God is saying for us as a church, but for you as a church specifically? I believe He's wanting to bring a renewed anointing and authority to finish the task He's given us. And I believe that's something He wants to do with the church as a whole, but with you as a church specifically. A renewed warrior mentality. Why am I sharing this? I had this picture of the church. And it was a bunch of people sitting around a fire with robes on. It was comfortable. It was warm. It was cozy. It was fantastic. But they'd all fallen asleep around the fire. And I was reminded of a picture. I'm old enough to have been alive during the Vietnam conflict. And guys who went to Vietnam, the emotional demands of war were demanding enough that they would send them regularly away for R&R, refreshing and rejuvenation. And many of them went to Australia. So we met many people who had gone to Australia during the war for rest and relaxation. Recharging. But the picture I had was these guys who are soldiers go for recharging and then they just say, no, I like it here. I'm not going back. And they settle down. Now what happens then if you're in an army is that you've gone AWOL. You're absent without leave. But what they had done is that they were just saying, no, this is good stuff. I just like it here. And I believe there's something of God wanting to wake up the church again. That we enjoy the place of His presence and the place of sitting on His lap and our ear against His chest and hearing His heartbeat and that place of intimacy and refreshing. But He never intends us to only do that. Guys, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying that we should. But we're still called to advance the kingdom. We come to that place and we say, God, I need intimacy with you. I need to be recharged and strengthened. I need to be renewed again in anointing and authority for the task that you've given us. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He said, I've given it to the church. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be manifest. What does that mean for us? I'm going to ask you if you just bow your head for a moment. The reason I do this. It's not more spiritual. But I realize it's too easy to get distracted by other people and other things. And I'm well aware that when we leave, the cares of the world come in and choke out the word. That's Jesus said that. And so we need to have an opportunity to respond to the word. And maybe there's the Holy Spirit saying something to you that you've settled down and He's calling you again to advance the kingdom. He's wanting to strengthen you once again with a renewed anointing. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. Guys, if we're not advanced to the kingdom, we really don't need power. So I believe there's something God's wanting to do to anoint us again, to give us authority again. Some of us have backed off. And maybe you found yourself in the place of just the refreshing of God. And that's absolutely wonderful. The place of just soaking in His presence and Him pouring His love. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. And you found yourself in that place and you just said, I just want to stay here. Guys, what I'm telling you today is that is great, but that's not why you're on the earth. We will have eternity to do that. But we're here to partner with Him in advancing His kingdom. And I believe that there is a stirring of the Spirit. There is something of God saying, we've fallen into slumber and it's time to wake up. This church has been here for a long time, has a great history. But as someone said in prayer earlier, today is a new day. God's preparing people's hearts. They're having dreams and visions and they're waiting for someone to tell them. But if we're asleep, how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? We have the wonderful privilege of advancing the kingdom, declaring the gospel, praying for the sick and seeing God bring healing and setting people free. Every single one of us. And I believe there's something of God stirring again. That. If God's stirring something in your heart, I'm going to ask you just to respond to Him. I'm not going to call you up front. But there's something of your response to say, God, I hear what You're saying. Not what this guy's saying. But what You're saying. Because we prayed that in the beginning. Holy Spirit, You speak to us. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And if He is, will you respond? How do you respond? Different ways. But I think it takes something of a recognizing. I'm going to ask you if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you're responding. If you just put your hand up and down. Not for me, but you're saying, Holy Spirit, I hear what You're saying. Okay? Don't hold it up. It's just not for me. But you're actually taking a step and saying, God, I'm responding. See me. I've heard and I'm responding. And then you're saying, okay, God, I recognize I need a refreshing in anointing, a renewed anointing, and a renewed authority.